ABC's PNG correspondent Eric Torchek has been visiting Manus Island since 2015 to cover stories about Australia's detention centre there. He's reported the deaths of five asylum seekers, broken the news that the PNG soldiers were firing shots into the centre, and told the story of the PNG Supreme Court declaring the detention of asylum seekers illegal. Across nine visits to Manus, he's met hundreds of asylum seekers and locals and learned about the impact of locking up 1,600 foreigners in a small, isolated community and seen what happens when you then let those people out. Eric Torchek is moving to a new posting with the ABC, and last week he made his last visit to Manus Island.
I felt guilty relief every time my flight lifted off the runway on Manus. The rich green jungle and blue sea would sink below the plane, and tension would start to seep from my body. "You've made it out," my subconscious would slowly realise. Unlike the asylum seekers, you've gotten off the island. Until the next death or violent incident compelled my return. Many people, Papua New Guineans and foreigners, like Manus Island. "It's so pretty," they would tell me. But I've never been quite able to appreciate the beauty of Manus while being there to cover such negative stories, while under threats of arrest by police and prosecution by PNG Immigration, while being followed by private security who took photos of the people I was interviewing, while being constantly asked who I was and who I was working for by people who had no right to know. Along with the sticky, intense heat, these things gave Manus a claustrophobic atmosphere unlike any other place I've worked. Yes, I could see that local people were decent, engaging and friendly. I could also see that many incidents arose because Papua New Guinean staff were well-intentioned but hopelessly inexperienced and ill-equipped to deal with the complex issues the asylum seekers and mandatory detention presented. I also saw that some asylum seekers contributed to problems with bad behaviour, including being arrogant, entitled and racist. But the overwhelming sense you get on Manus Island is that things there are not all right. I've felt the atmosphere change on Manus many times, from when some refugees first moved into a transit centre near the main town, to when the PNG Supreme Court declared the detention of asylum seekers was illegal and they were allowed to leave the centre during the day. All along, the asylum seekers have lived with intense security and constant restrictions on their lives, even when they were supposed to be granted their freedom. Some evaded the restrictions and a number got into trouble with local people or broke local laws. But the point is, they were not accorded all their legal rights and arguably still lack them in many ways. Now the detention centre has been closed, the asylum seekers live in three accommodation compounds that remain off-limits to outsiders, including the media. Security guards control gates at the perimeter and monitor behaviour inside. The refugees are free to come and go, but there are still restrictions on those whose refugee claims have been rejected. At 5 o'clock each afternoon, when the sun drops low enough to make going outside bearable, refugees pour out of the accommodation complexes and walk the streets in groups. Some have bikes, one owns a motorbike. Two have used their compensation for being illegally detained to buy cars. They come out to exercise, talk with each other and local people, and told me it's their escape from the walls and fences of their accommodation. They look happier than I've seen them before, and this freedom to exercise and socialise outside the fences is a blessing. But all of them still feel trapped by endless waiting. Hundreds have not been processed for resettlement in the United States and doubt they will be. This strange situation on a remote island will continue until the US finishes its refugee intake and we know how many of the men are not going. After that, who knows? There are more than 500 men still waiting and about 100 men whose refugee claims were rejected. These so-called double negatives have no option other than to return to their countries of origin voluntarily. Most are from Iran and can't be forced to go back because their government doesn't accept involuntary returns. Many of the double negatives from other countries, who could be deported, have been. It's refreshing to be able to freely meet the refugees now, to have dinner with them, to no longer have to hide from police and security guards because these men are able to come and go like normal human beings. It's depressing to see the busloads of security guards still employed to monitor and police their movements. The refugees have the legal right to go anywhere they like in PNG, to live in Port Moresby, to have relationships, to work. But they're often prevented from doing these things because having these foreigners at large makes the PNG authorities uncomfortable. Officials in the PNG government have told me of their great concern about the men moving around unmonitored and beginning new lives in PNG. Despite PNG agreeing to resettle these officials are not comfortable with the idea. Many Papua New Guineans never have been. So many refugees are stuck on Manus Island, living in Australian-built accommodation, doing endless training courses and meeting their caseworkers. For what? Many ask. Five refugees have died during the 3 years I covered Manus Island. Police believe the last three of those deaths were suicides. The first two were the deaths of Pakistani refugee Kamil Hussein, who slipped and fell into a waterfall, and Sudanese refugee Faisal Ishak Ahmed, who collapsed in the detention centre and later died in Brisbane. I knew one of those men who died and saw his steady decline from personable to unstable to dangerous before he was found dead in a suspected suicide last year. Workers on Manus Island privately say the mental health problems prevalent before the closure of the detention centre are actually worse now, with the passing of years and the lack of hope eating away at the resilience of the men who remain. I am indebted to and admiring of all the men who spoke to me and other media outlets. Many did so in great fear of being punished and broke rules inside the detention centre to speak. These men were locked up in one of the world's most isolated places, and the media was blocked from even getting close to them. Getting their stories out required persistence from journalists and courage from the asylum seekers. Iranian refugee and journalist Behrouz Bouchani is the best-known voice from Manus. His contribution to our understanding of this place and the experience of detainees has been critical. There are many others, Aziz Adam, Amir Tahinia, Imran Mohammed, Benham Sattar, Naeem Uddin, Shamindan Kanapati, Walid Zazai, Ben Mogimi. They're just some of the people who helped tell the world about this island. Australians should be asking questions about their government's actions on Manus Island, because many things about the detention centre and the continuing treatment of asylum seekers remain obscured. People can support or oppose the policy, but they should do so with full knowledge of what actions are being taken, how much they cost, and whether those actions are legal. The human cost has not been fully measured. The fundamental act of locking asylum seekers up on Manus was illegal. It breached the human rights protections in PNG's constitution, and Australia has since paid compensation for that. But despite Australia's statement saying PNG is now responsible, the continuing treatment of the men on Manus Island and their future remains firmly in Australian hands. The PNG government has said so publicly several times. It can't act without Australia's approval, and it needs Australia's help to resolve this situation. And don't forget, Australia continues to foot the bill, and it's a very expensive one. So I've left Manus Island for the last time, knowing that an intractable, unpleasant, an arguably illegal situation endures, that people are taking their own lives, that the beauty of Manus is no comfort to the hundreds of increasingly sad, hopeless men who remain there. From Port Moresby, this is Eric Tworchek for Correspondence Report.